cowboys cry, Ki-yip-the-i, deep in the heart of Texas.
Welcome to the BMX News Announcers Tower podcast. I'm Mike Carruth. With a new page on the calendar, May has brought new policies and procedures that allow tracks in some states to reopen. One of the first tracks on that lucky list is Cowtown BMX in Fort Worth, Texas. They held their regular Friday night race, which happened to coincide with the May 1st green light under Texas rules that allowed certain facilities to reopen. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show the track operators of Cowtown, Craig and Regina Prince. Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So all reports from the track last night were that it was a beautiful evening, beautiful Texas evening, with BMX families stoked to get back to their normal BMX routines. And so you know, congratulations on a successful reopen.
Yeah, thanks. I wouldn't say it was normal, but yes.
So tell us a little about the first night and how it all went and kind of like, you know, take us through step by step.
Okay, well, I guess we started off, you know, that we couldn't do like a full eight-man gate because the governor of Texas said that sports that have four or less people on participating in that sport, like tennis and golf, can do it. So as in a golf course, you could have a foursome, and you might have 18 foursomes on that golf course or more at a time.
Right.
So obviously we could have four people on the track at a time.
Yeah.
So we had to modify. I got with USA BMX on that, and we talked about it, and they shot their ideas back to us, and we was pretty much on the same page on the format we were going to use. So we had to mark off certain gates. So we had the social distancing, of course. So every other gate was pretty much just shut off.
So did you go 1-3-5-7 or 2-4-6-8?
1-3-5-7. Nobody wants eight, so
that's true.
Choice.
Good point. Good point. So, as far as like, you know, the reopen then, I mean, like you did the social distancing on the gate. How about in the pits? Like where people, you know, I guess one of the things that I'm seeing here, I mean, I live in Illinois, so it's still, we're still hunkered down, locked down, masks mandatory, any place outside, that kind of thing. And so it's definitely, you know, still a different, you know, kind of thing. And so I think that, but yet people, even under the lockdown, people are still sort of anxious and eager to get out there and, you know, kind of be among the living once again. And so how was it in the pits and with your track families?
Pits were pretty good. We asked everybody if they're going to sit in the bleachers, just be wary of other people's space, try to stay away from them at least 6 feet. You know, I don't mind families sitting together, but we asked them preferably to stay in their car or around their vehicle and try not to gather in groups. It was tough. I mean, most people followed that, but you know how it is. You hadn't seen your buddy next door for a while, you know, that you can fit with. So you're going to walk over and talk to them. But for the most part, they followed along. It was tougher in staging with the kids, but we did a pretty good job of keeping them separated. I mean, I had to get on a few of them a few times. Hey, guys, y'all need to separate a little bit. But it went really well.
So, Regina, do you run registration?
Yes.
How was registration under this new, you know, this new world situation?
Our biggest thing was we did the online registration.
Okay.
And we used Square for that, which it was a little bit difficult, I think, for some people because there's not a field for them to enter the rider's information.
Right.
But I think a lot of people did get it. I had about 10 people that didn't give me the rider information. And I had about 70 riders sign up.
Wow.
On registration. So I didn't have very many people here at the window, but we did have some new riders that
did
Mondays. I had about six of them.
Nice.
And just a handful of those that needed to register to race. So it went rather smoothly.
And did you open concessions?
We did. We did snacks and drinks only.
So like packaged, you know, packaged items.
Correct.
Okay. Great. And were people buying?
Oh, yes. She was quite busy over there.
Awesome. That's great. And so on the track itself, you know, just, you know, kind of coming back to you, Craig, I mean, did you have to give your staff or your volunteer team any sort of briefing on what was acceptable, what was inbounds, out of bounds kind of thing?
Not on the track, just in the staging area. We had two people in the back behind it. And even in practice, somebody was back there keeping them separated, making sure I had spots marked off, X's on the asphalt behind the hill. So everybody had to stand on the X. So okay. Don't go. And sometimes the kid behind would sneak up and talk to his buddy. Back off on your X. And then we had cones in other spots. And we had them pretty far back. We had them separated. So somebody was back there monitoring. She had a pre-registration list. So she was able to see who pre-registered or paid for practice and give them their little sticker for their brake cable. And they could get up on the hill. And if you didn't, you had to go to signups. But there wasn't that many people doing that.
Right on.
It went well. That was pretty much it as far as volunteers. I didn't have to tell them much. But I asked them, if you see groups kind of getting together, just to walk over to them and say, hey, you know, y'all, if you didn't mind, y'all don't gather too many people in the area, or just kind of separate a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. So you get to New York and it's all over. So how did you get the word out to people? I mean, obviously Facebook is a powerful tool for that, and you probably have a track Facebook page that is a good engine for getting the word out. Was that pretty much how you did it?
Pretty much social media. Yes. And then we had a lot of people sharing, and then we shared in different groups as well.
One of the things that BMXers are really famous for doing is just kind of the, hey, you know what you guys should do is the blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, did you have a lot of solicited or unsolicited feedback from people, like as you started, like even on the Facebook group? I can see that, like, we have a Hoosier BMX one, and we have our local track is Steel Wheels BMX in Hobart, Indiana. And, you know, people are definitely giving their opinions one way or the other about this.
Yeah, it really wasn't that bad. I really expected to see more people saying, y'all shouldn't open, social shaming as it is, you know, usually that's kind of, I think we had one when we were still running practices, even after we had approval, but we couldn't race, but we had some practices. But then once the police showed up on my property and shut that down, it's a longer story, but basically the city doesn't give, and this is before the governor took over, the city does not give letters for approval. They just tell you. So the golf courses don't even have letters. So we told them we had approval, and they said, well, you got to get a letter. And then we called back and they said, no, you don't get a letter. We don't give those out. And I said, well, the cop said, we're going to shut down the police. And they said, well, I guess you got to shut down. It's kind of really weird. But as far as the people goes, nobody bothered. Some people said, well, why don't y'all just go ahead and run eight? You know, just go ahead and fill a gate up running like normal. Because nobody's probably going to say something. I said, look, I said, they want us to run this way. We're going to run this way. There's no reason. And it was rough running that four-man format because it was new to all of us. And hopefully Sunday will be better. But it went off, and nobody complained. Not one complaint. Really nobody said anything. I was really shocked. No social shaming for being open or on social media. We didn't have no bad text messages. We've had one a while back, but that was it.
I was pretty stern on doing giving them direction on, you know, no bashing. If you got bad comments, you know, I didn't want to hear. I don't have time. I'm still working my full time job.
Really?
And so, oh yes, yeah, we both are. So we just didn't have time to sit there and listen to the negativity, and it's like, you're welcome to wear your mask out here. If you don't want to, that's fine. That's your personal preference.
And you're welcome to stay home. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Yep. If you do have to do what's good and best for your own family. And so that's maybe the lesson as part of this whole process is, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with, if you say it's not really, if you feel it's not really safe yet, no sweat. Say, you know, just stay home for a little while longer. That's totally cool. But don't necessarily think that, you know, that one opinion should govern all of us.
That's correct.
Shut down for another month. This track's been around since 1982. I don't know if it survived another month, because we got bills to pay. my credit card can only handle so much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we don't shut down for this next month, I mean, how long can they just keep us shut down for? You know, it was a question. So you can just keep floating the bill
right
for so long, you know? I mean, you got to have a date.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean.
We have to be back open. We're totally private. We have no city funding. We don't have any assistance from anybody. So every dollar we get from the track goes back to the track.
Wow, that's awesome. One of the things that I had hoped we would achieve by way of this episode of the podcast, and again, thank you both for taking time out of your day to be here. You're at the track here on Saturday morning, and we really appreciate it. After being gone from Friday night, you probably left pretty late, I would imagine, after checking out over there. So, but I think that it's great that you're here and you're able to tell us, you're talking now to tracks throughout the world, really, and you know, kind of telling them that it's, you know, how it all goes down. And it's super important. And also BMX families to understand how they should sort of, conduct themselves as they make their way out to the track again. What are some of the normal rider counts that you have, like pre-COVID that you had and versus last night? Was it about the same or was it down by a certain amount?
We doubled in rider counts.
Really?
We normally run 35 to 40 riders, and we had 86.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And what are your normal race days?
That's on Friday. That's our slow day. Our slow day.
Wow. So when's the next race day then?
Sunday.
All right. Well, here you go, everyone. You got a day lead time to get your, you know, to get yourself on to Fort Worth.
And we had a lot of people from out of town show up. San Antonio. Where else did you have? Louisiana. You had some Louisiana people.
Wow.
That's awesome. Polish Report. So yeah, they came from different states. We've heard rumors of other people coming from farther away, but I don't know if they did.
I think that I can make. I think if I get in the car now, I can make it.
Yeah,
you can. Yeah,
I've done it before in one rip, just right straight to, well, DeSoto. That's not too far from you guys, though, right?
Right, right. And they're about a 30-minute drive from us. They're shut down. They're in Dallas, basically Dallas County, and their governor Clay Jenkins has them shut down. And he was the first one to actually shut down a city.
Oh.
In Texas. So he was ahead of everybody of shutting things down. So my guess, he's going to be the last to let the parks open. But the governor overrules the city in that case, but it is a city park, so city has ruling over their own parks.
Right, so, right, right.
And that's tough. And we're going to, next weekend, we're going to be changing our schedule for the people coming from out of town. So, instead of Friday, we're going to be racing Saturday and Sunday because we got people camping out here right now from out of San Antonio because they want to race tomorrow. So
yeah,
basically. So wow. We're going to make it easier for everybody to drive up here and race Saturday, Sunday, and go home. So we're just going to do it until DeSoto opens up.
Awesome. What was your last race day prior to this happening?
That was February the 28th.
Okay. And so, wow, that's, you know, that's a solid 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus a little change. Yeah. So
yeah. Well, what happened was we had rain 2 weeks prior down for rain. My track is so bad. We have slurry on it, so it's waterproof, but we had so much rain. The parking lot was soaked. You couldn't get into the property and drive around. So, and then they shut us down. Well, that was tough for us. We didn't know what to think of that. So, but yeah, it was 2 months for us. Where some tracks, we're lucky. Maybe they've been down only a month and a half at this point.
Right. Wow. And so when you closed down, like when you started to see, oh my gosh, you know, they're going to make us shut down. They're going to make everyone shut down. I mean, I remember just kind of where you were when you heard that. It's like, you know, that was a pretty big deal when they're like, okay, you know, we're shut, you know, states started turning the lights off, you know, we're shutting down. Everyone has to stay home. It was unprecedented. And so when you started hearing that, I mean, I guess the question really is, at what point did you start developing a plan to start, okay, here's what we're going to do when we are allowed to reopen? Did you come up with a plan in advance for that? I saw Tyler Brown came up with a really good one for Chula Vista that I guess he had to submit to the city, but, did you guys do something of the sort just for your own operational purposes?
We didn't actually make a decision on opening up until the governor released his phase one on was it April 27th on Monday.
Okay, wow. But yeah, that's it. So you had a short runway, short lead time on that. But I would imagine that things, you know, you guys have been doing this a while now. I would imagine that things pretty much hit the groove again, you know, pretty quick, right?
It did, except for the four-man format. Scoring that was so different. I got the hang of it by the time it was over.
Yeah, yeah. So it was no transfer. It was just total points then the whole way?
Anything that was... it was normal if it was four or less. Of course, total points with three riders. Four riders, you had to qualify. After that, when you get to the five riders, six riders, seven riders, it gets pretty crazy. So, but basically, in a nutshell, if you had six riders, they split the groups up to three and three. So you'd have, so like Moto 5 would be 5A and 5B. Three riders would go in the first, and three riders in the next, and they would take one and one out of each of those groups, and what's left would come back and race, and they would have four riders still there, so those four riders would battle for the last three spots. So.
And then was there a main, or how did you figure out who won?
Yeah, there was mains. Like the main was normal. It get complicated, so. The real weird one is five riders. When you have five riders, so you'd have actually a gate with two riders on it and a gate with three in your first round. And that was really weird. So you would take one and one, and then it would be three riders left. And what was it? There was one off the top of my head. It's really confusing. But basically, there's a group at one point. Oh, okay. So when you get seven, let's just say you have seven or eight riders. Let's just go ahead and do eight. Well, four people can't go to the main. And so how are you going to score the next four? Well, what happened is the next four that didn't make it out of the first round to go to the main, they would battle for the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth place in the second round. And that's how we would score those guys.
So you have to score them all.
Right.
So it's a little confusing, but basically they would run second round qualifier, but that would actually be their main race. And they're racing for the last places, the non-podium places.
Oh, all right. I get it.
It's almost like running. It's almost like doing your mains first. Kind of,
yeah.
Think of
it. Huh. So, how did you come up with that on your own, or did someone tell you about it, or what?
It was USA BMX and us. We had talked to Luna, and I forgot who else was on the phone. Cody, and I suggested that, and then when it came out with the format, it was identical. But they went even farther. They got it all the way to like 16 riders that they have a format for. So that we have a chart we can follow. We have a big gate.
Wow, that's
hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, wow.
The hard part is explaining it to the parents.
I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure.
Crazy. The kids don't care. They just get up there and race. They just want to ride.
yeah, for sure. As far as the actual plan, you didn't really have to come up with one then, because you had sort of a short runway. You know, and you sort of slip back into the groove, except for the scoring part, which you said. But what about the families? Like, did you communicate to them like a list of rules or regulations? I've seen a few out there just in the wild, and so, you know, the ones that I saw were pretty strict. Did you guys issue anything like that?
We posted how it worked out, and along with the chart, a portion of the chart, on the social media, on Facebook. And basically we told them, if you don't understand it, Facebook's not the place to discuss it. Come see us. We'll teach it.
Right on. Yeah. And you said that people were pretty, you know, pretty understanding about that. Like they didn't get in your face, you know, on a cyber level.
Yeah, no.
And then we had, you know, like I'm back on my Moto Hill. If y'all know Scott Sloan, old school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he helps us out a lot. So we had him back at the hill. We had another parent back at the hill, and they understood how it worked. And we told the parents, you just get little Johnny to the back of the hill. We'll get him in their chutes and in their lanes. You don't worry about it. And we tried to explain qualifying. One of the biggest headaches, it's kind of funny. We lost our sound system. So we had no sound system. So our announcers were out talking through a little PA mic.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was bad for us, but nobody cared.
So you lost it during the race, or did you lose it in like before?
No, during, well, right as we're getting ready to start. So,
oh,
I've
my.
I've got the speakers fixed. They're all up and going now. But there was nothing we could do. It was crazy. But everybody had a good time. Not one complaint.
I think I saw some. John Freewalt is my good buddy, Chicago transplant, and he was the guy that helped me out with some photos and video of the evening. And there was one photo that I saw of some people shining car headlights on the track.
Yeah,
and we used to do
that. On that too.
What's so, that?
So FYI, for all you tracks that are shut down, check your stuff out before you open up. Go out the next day. Go turn your lights on. Make sure all your stuff comes on. Yes, we had lost a pole light. And I raced. And there was a pretty dark spot out there on the track. So I had some parents put their car and paste their headlights on the backside of the jumps. And it worked. Not one complaint. It's kind of funny. It takes me back to when I raced in the 80s. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. That's what we used to do at Itasca BMX. We'd have those 100 moto local races, and sometimes it would run a little late, especially like in the end of the year when it was daylight was shorter, and people would just, as a matter of reflex almost, you know, aim their headlights at the track, and we'd have a little night race.
Yeah.
Or a twilight race, at least. So... Yes. Are there things like in place today at the track? Like, I mean, there's your track, surprisingly, you didn't seem to have a lot of changes, which is great. I mean, it's really helpful. I mean, you had the staging changes and then the scoring changes with the chart and that sort of thing. But are there things today that you will be rolling back kind of as things begin to get back to normal, whatever normal will be?
Yeah. So when the governor releases us back to being whatever the restrictions are, as long as the 6-foot separation is still around, we're going to try to do that. But that's probably going to be when sports start back. When he starts releasing, you can have more than 4 people at a sport. We're going to go right back into racing normally. So that's we're just going off what the governor says. I know every state and county is different, and I guess some governors will let the counties make that decision, but
right.
The cities. So,
did USA BMX happen to say whether they were going to use that that scoring system at nationals too when we get back to it, or is that strictly for local?
Yeah, I don't think they could do that national. It's strictly for local, and that format only was pretty much. I think Texas was the governor came up with. What they allow? See, they've been allowing golf courses to play golf during this whole time in Texas.
Of course.
So
in Tarrant County.
Yeah, in Tarrant County and others. So, but the governor let them choose, but they wouldn't allow this to happen. They wouldn't allow you to play tennis. But now they said any sport that has 4 people in an event can do it. So that's how we were able to pull that off. I don't know whatever other city's doing. I don't see USA BMX doing that format. It would take them too long to pull that format off. It's just a big headache.
But what do you think about the
idea?
Yeah, for sure. And so along those lines, like, what do you think about the idea of block racing? You know, so you've got certain ages that you know, for the nationals, I mean, when you've got a lot of people, you know, you want to try and reduce the number of people at the race at any given time. So blocks, like kind of like they do at the Worlds. What do you think about that as a possibility?
I really don't know. It's possible, I guess.
Tough to decide. I'm sure. I definitely don't envy those guys. I mean, they have a lot of responsibility on their shoulders, and as they always do, but even more so in this kind of time when things are, you know, so we're in uncharted waters, so to speak. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
So, what is the schedule? You said you know usually Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, but this kind of a special. You know, situation for now, it'll be give us the dates and times of those Saturday, Sunday races.
Saturday, 3 to 4 will be signups, and Sunday, 2 to 3 is signups.
And how does someone do your pre-registration? Where do they go to hit that?
They can go to Cowtown BMX and under sections and go to pre-registration.
And what's the entry fee?
On 15 on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. And do you have a practice day as well during the week?
We do, Tuesday, 5:30 to 8.
And do they pre-sign for that as well?
They can, yes.
All right.
It makes it, it'll probably make it a lot easier for them. They don't have to come up to the window and get their practice sticker.
Right, right. Just, we're start kind of winding down the questions, and so I just am really curious, as someone who's doing it for real right now, what advice, you know, Craig, you already said a little bit of the advice as far as go out and check your, you know, check your chain kind of thing. But what advice would you give to tracks who are listening to help them open up as smoothly as you guys did?
I would say the definitely the pre-registration that was so helpful to enter in all of them in Race Manager, but it ran very smoothly. As far as track wise, be sure you have volunteers. You need the volunteers to be able to help you.
If you're going to do the social distancing, if that's still regulated, or if you want to do it, take some cones and block off those lanes so the kids can't get into the lanes, that you can separate them. That way, because they don't know. You tell them, you can't tell everybody, but if they see a cone in that lane, obviously they're not going to get in it. So, and then, and mark out behind the starting hill where you, the gaps where you want them to stand, put something out there so they'll know, cones or whatever. That's pretty much it, or paint stuff on the ground like we did.
Right. And what about in terms of the parking lot and stuff like that? I mean, like, part of this, I think, as a track operator, your task, your job, whatever you want to call it, is to sort of keep the families informed of what you expect of you know, in your facility. And so, like, how do you, like, what are some of the, your advice for those, you know, for the families?
We posted it on the internet about the social distancing and you know, staying in your vehicle.
Bring a lawn chair, hang out at your vehicle.
When you go to the moto sheet, send one person. Don't multi people go up there from the family to check the moto sheet. Send whoever you want. Just let them take a picture, but don't we don't want to see your son and your daughter and everybody. Just keep the numbers down. Not everybody go up there at one time.
No bikes.
Yeah, no bikes.
Right.
And they invited by. They did real good.
Yeah, it went really smooth. But basically through social media, you explain it what you expect, and then. And then when you get on the mic, when they get here and ask them, hey, please be aware and keep your distance. And so we don't have people doing shaming. We'll look at them. They're letting everybody talk. Well, we can't control adults, as
right.
you know.
Right.
And the kids, you know, the kids did pretty good for the most part. But the adults, believe it or not, they like to gather. Cowtown's kind of a party track, let's just say. Sometimes I turn out the lights and the people don't leave. So we're just Fort Worth people are just that way. Let's just say that. So.
That's awesome. And what about the fence line? Was that, did you guys allow people at the fence, like along the fence, or did you keep that kind of clear?
The fence around the track?
Yeah.
The rope in Texas is rope. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So we got posts and rope. So, now they didn't hang out around there. You know, they might get out of the car and walk and go yell as Johnny was running by, and then go back to their chair out in front of the vehicle or go back into the vehicle. So it wasn't a problem. Yeah, I don't awesome. Think nobody hung out ropes. So that was good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as we close it out, are there any final thoughts or anything that you'd just like to tell the audience out there, whether it's about Cowtown or just, you know, your philosophy in general?
I did print off the moto sheets singly, so each moto had its own page when I posted the motos. That way there wasn't three on a group and, you know, people were trying. And we spread them out. I think you did every other space.
Well, we tried, but we ran out.
ran out of hoops. So. And then the awards, we did have a person. We usually have them line up. I might do something different, handing out our little tags like we do in our state race. And... that might be a little bit easier to do on Sunday. We might try that. But I had someone, you know, making sure the kids were trying to stay 6 foot apart, kind of manning that.
You know, everybody rushes the building to get their award at the end of the race.
Right, right, right. That was definitely one of the things I forgot to ask you about. But yeah, that's great.
It's something we just thought. But no, everything. I can't hope all the tracks get open soon and we all get back to racing. I'm ready to do some nationals this year, and I'm sure everybody else is. And it's going to be a busy year, but hopefully this will be done by early summer and we can move along and get back to norm. That's, I hope the best for all the tracks. I hate to see tracks close because of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, and we still have the world championships to deal with. I mean, whether we're going to do that, I mean, we don't know, but yeah. If they reschedule it for October or something like that, is that, I don't know the weather down in Texas. Is that a time that would be good for something like that or?
Yeah. It's going to be hot. It's Houston. It's going to be very hot. It's going to be in the hundreds. You know, I remember Worlds in South Carolina, and it was hot and humid, but Houston's worse. Houston's bad. And depending, I'm not sure in that area how bad the mosquitoes are, but I bet they're going to be bad. So bring the year off if you go, because I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll see y'all there.
Yeah. Well, of the 160 episodes of this series, this is among the most profound episode to me. We've broken some important news in the 11-year run of the series, but this episode serves as a guiding light to all tracks around the world, really, that there is a way back from this unprecedented crisis. And it shows that BMX racing will come back, and it will come back stronger and more popular than ever in the local communities that we serve. And, you know, there's a lot of baseball seasons and stuff that are canceled. And this is an opportunity for us and BMX to, you know, to make some gains. And are you guys running the league program at all?
Good question. And that's a point. I brought up the Luna the other day. Right now is the opportunity for this sport to grow tremendously. Since all the other sports are down, we're going to be trying to get our league up and going. Usually we don't run a summer league because it's so hot. We'll do a spring and a fall. We had to cancel our spring league because of this, this lockdown. So we're going to try to do a summer league. And we've got so many people asking about it already.
Great.
We're going to make it happen because Walmart's out of bicycles.
Wow.
So
yeah.
That tells you something. You can't, bike shops are all busy.
Yep.
Yeah. This is the opportunity for the sport to grow tremendously because we may be the only sport up and running.
Absolutely.
And the league is, Johnny's looking for some league to do for the summer of sport, and here we go.
Absolutely. Well, Craig and Regina, thank you so much for being a part of this episode and helping us out here. Hopefully, we'll have an opportunity to talk with you again here on the show once things get back to normal. And you know, just for the listener, keep an eye out on Cowtown BMX. If you make it down to Texas, stop on over there on a Saturday, or on a Friday or a Sunday, or in the more immediate scope on a Saturday, Sunday. Just keep an eye on what they're doing. So once again, thanks so much for being a part of the show today.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Don't give ball and say you all deep in the heart of Texas.